we needed us.
Yeah, noting that we needed you.
This dream was not this. This dream.
You balance all this masculine energy. Yeah. You with us together, we're all balancing.
And we're invoking all the gods and goddesses and all the sacred animals for this dream work group on October 18th, 2010.
Yes, yes.
With Master Dreamworker Rand Rothy.
And others. Crows. And crows
and various,
strolling
various other characters.
Crow Madison.
Well, Madison is as of yet undetermined. Person's identity,
the four states of consciousness
of relating to a person's unique inborn,
relating not only to a person's mind but to the structure of the whole universe,
but also a
the whole universe is divided into four phase spaces,
phase, and relating to the person's inborn dimensions. What do you call
inborn configuration of identity type?
Okay, of identity type. with the four phase spaces.
Yeah, four phase.
So you're gonna draw Jonathan's configuration, right?
Yeah.
So we can do voodoo on him.
So we can undo. Now you know why everyone's so divided, these phase spaces. No one is connected. Everybody's in some, well, I guess more or less, perhaps by eight areas outward directed, is more cut off.
Unless you're, all the four signs were alternating.
Oh, yeah.
Inward, outward.
I'm very impressed that you can remember all these details and be intuitive at the same time.
There are 12 details, yeah.
I mean, you know, there's a lot of details here. There's a lot of knowledge to, in order to get this. Yeah. You've got to understand
astrology. You haven't
astrology.
Seen you don't know that. You
don't know. I can just see
you don't
right
at the beginning of it.
You're scratching the surface here.
I know, but then to actually shift to be intuitive.
No.
You know, because normally the mind kind of...
No, once you master it, it's much easier to shift.
Carvel.
Ah,
yeah,
right. It's just like you were talking
like
with the...
Sports.
The sport.
So like a guitar. You have to do these scales and...
Right, but once you master it...
It moves from the conscious mind to the subconscious, and then
got
the whole part starts to open.
Carvel.
Okay.
Have you ever
what,
heard
anyway.
Of prayer?
Okay. Oh. What is it? Rand? Yes.
Once you master it... Then you're your own self-master. Mm-hmm. Then you master yourself. Okay. So, all Jonathan has to be conscious of is the difference between the way he identifies mm-hmm. and the way his intuition is leading him. He doesn't have to be conscious of any of this other stuff. Mm-hmm. Because all of this other stuff is already consciously aware of itself, and it's all built in so that it provides the instincts that we need in order to function. Mm-hmm. And as long as we're just in harmony, paying attention to our intuition, our instincts follow along. Mm-hmm. And so it actually becomes quite simple for us. Life is complicated because we think that it's complicated. But it becomes simple when we realize that it's only a matter of what I think I know. in comparison to what my intuition is telling me, and learning how to follow that intuition as if it were a command from God. Mm-hmm. And that means to be able to let go of what I want to do in the face of what God wants me to do. Mm-hmm. And you can experience this inside of your own soul, like on a moment-to-moment basis, every day. But I think that we're going to have to start teaching this to children in order for a culture, a society of people to be able to live this way.
Yeah, because I'm dealing with that with Nicholas at the moment, the whole concept of, you know, getting caught up in the social stuff at school. I mean, he's surrounded by, you know...
Right, okay.
The whole people who are just caught up in television and video games and all this kind of stuff. And I'm trying to teach him, you know, it's very important for you to listen to your own heart and to follow your own truth and try and do that while in this situation. And it's really hard for him. I know it's...
The trick that I learned along this line, as I've been developing this, is to talk to a person like we're going to talk to Jonathan right now. Mm. We're going to listen to his dream. Mm. And all of the characters in his dream are just various aspects of his mind. And so he's going to be trying to take the lead from them.
Right.
He's going to try to figure out what it is that they want.
Yeah.
And they're really waiting for him to take the lead.
Right.
And it's a matter of who are you. It's a matter of, you know, you have your own identity. Mm-hmm. And where Nicholas is worried about what the other kids want him to do.
Yes.
What's his birthday?
He's a Virgo. September
30th. Yeah. He's experiencing them as asserting or exerting dominance on him through action, because that's his personality. He wants to exert dominance through action, so he's imagining, he's projecting onto them that they're exerting dominance through action onto him, and that they want him to do that so that he can show them that he cares for them, that he likes them.
Right.
But what he needs to know is that he is the identity, okay, and that they're really depending upon him to take the lead.
Got it. Right. Yep.
Yep. Yeah, because they will never be able to do anything in relationship with him. He'll never have a meaningful relationship with them as long as he is following their lead. Mm-hmm. Then he's just going to be, does he want to be their slave or does he want to be their master?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so with the dream work, it's the same kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So you have to master the dream almost.
You have to master
or the elements,
the relationship between yourself and your intuition. That's all you have to do. You have to master the relationship between yourself and your intuition. All the other stuff falls into place when you do that.
And then define that. Define master. What you mean by master?
Where you are doing the will of God, or you are doing the will of your own self. If you are doing the will of God, then you're the master of your own self. Mm-hmm. If you're not doing the will of God, then you're being mastered by all of these other forces.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're slaves, mm-hmm, one way or the other. We're either the slaves of our friends and the world that we live in, or we're the slaves of God. There's no way of getting out of slavery.
Right. Unless you do it by choice, then you can't be a slave.
You can't even do anything.
If you have the choice.
The only way that you can get out of slavery is to do yourself in. But then you're the slave of the bullet. But because either you're the slave of God or you're the slave of man.
Either you're the disciple of God or the slave of man. Though.
But when you're this disciple of God, you consider yourself to be his lamb, to be his slave. And the interesting thing that happens is that you then experience the ironical situation that God becomes your slave.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Servant is the...
And that's really an amazing experience that you really do have.
And then God stands at attention for you.
Yeah, and we'll do... And anybody who is associated with you, who needs help from you, God is out there taking care of them and their needs. Mm-hmm. This used to happen with Muktananda all the time. A guy crashed in the Amazon in an airplane. And he was screaming for Muktananda's help. And after a couple of days, he got... to a phone and called Muktananda. I told him about the event. And he said, I was yelling for you to come and help me. And you did. You were doing this and that and the other for me. And Muktananda said, okay, well, get off the phone. I got a lot of other people to take care of. Too. But anyway, Muktananda says, oh Kundalini, holy Mother, you take care of all of the needs of all of my disciples.
Yeah.
And he recognized that she is enslaved to him because he is her slave. So it's a, you know, it's a slavery where you're in freedom.
But isn't slavery where you're in
freedom? So,
but isn't it, there's a difference between a slave and a servant.
Sufis use the word servant, but anyway.
Because slave means you doing it as if when you don't want to do it.
Well, I don't mean it that way. I mean.
Am I correct there?
No.
When you say.
It's a way of looking at it.
I think of a person who's doing it because he's being forced to, he's being whipped, he's being treated badly.
You have no choice.
But let me tell you what happens eventually, Carmel. You realize that you're going to be God's servant because it's a necessary condition. That there isn't any.
I have no problem with the word servant.
There isn't any other way out of it. I'm going to be the slave of God no matter what, because if I try to get out of it, the wrath of hell comes down on my head.
I mean, I choose that. I want to be that. It's not a. I'm not being forced. I don't think you're forced into it. That's the whole point of free will. It's like you can choose the path of God, or you can choose not to follow the path of God. Basically, you have those two choices
right.
in every decision that you make.
Of course. And then it says in this one song, you insult the master by not doing his will or by arguing against him. Mm. And you're born as a poisonous insect in a waterless region.
Okay, but hold on. You don't have, at some point, you don't have a choice. You can only do the will of God. I don't have a choice to kill someone because I would never do it. So there's at one point when you have a choice to go against God, but at some point, you don't have a choice because you always go with God no matter what.
No, right. I think you always
so
end up there.
Right.
You have a virtual choice, but
you
not
you always end up there because it's like the Hound of Heaven. Have you ever read that poem, The Hound of Heaven? Where you just can't escape it. You're going to get to the good no matter what. You're going to get to God no matter what, but you can choose this path or you can choose this path.
Right.
But you're going to get there. I believe everybody's going to get there no matter what.
Okay, well, but I don't. I believe that some of us are going to get killed.
But you might get killed, but then you'll get reborn.
Not necessarily.
Yeah. I mean, yes, you do. We all keep getting reborn.
No, that's not true.
I can show
you plenty of scriptures where, even in the Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna tells Arjuna.
Oh, that some souls just die?
Yeah.
Just die.
Because, you're nothing but God anyway.
You come back to
certain
God.
Certain manifestations come to
you. You're nothing but God in the first place, but the person that God takes on a particular shape
the whole thing,
that definitely doesn't want to go along with God, then God has no use for him.
Like the dinosaurs.
So dinosaurs.
It disappears.
So like, some of it
well, they just work. Turn into birds.
But have they disappeared?
They disappear.
Their form.
No, I mean, I could not believe how interested in dinosaurs my kids were when they were younger. I was like, where is this coming from?
They brought it with them.
I mean, you know, this fascination. They still like them. Oliver just bought a little skeleton of a dinosaur. He loves it. He's got him up on his desk. He's playing with him.
They're birds now. We got to inform the birds.
Well, see, they're not what you, your children are not what you think they are.
They shapeshift.
No. Oliver's just like
yeah. So it ends up being a matter of talking.
Yeah, right. It's all talking.
Once you get behind all of it, you find that you can say anything you want. You know, you can describe it any way you want.
Yeah.
it's infinite. Mm-hmm. It, we can't limit it to this or that or the other. Okay. But anyway, you're not ever going to get destroyed. I can tell that.
Okay,
I think that you have a place assured to you.
Sure, well, you can.
Okay, Jonathan, you have a dream.
Do dreams?
Yeah.
I have a dream. Sorry, yes.
Yeah.
So yeah, we should play that.
Do you remember the question that you asked before?
Well, it didn't have a particular question because.
But do you have a particular question in mind right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Deal with. It's always about the same. It's about life orientation, health orientation. You know,
I don't know what you mean when you said life orientation.
What to do, where to be, you know, some direction. But I didn't have a particular... That's what I was thinking about, I think, during that time when the dream came. This came up last week. Didn't come up this week. This was for last week, the dream. A week ago.
Of all of the things that you want to do, which one is the highest priority? What came to your mind first?
General life direction, where to go, what movement.
No, but when you think of where you want to go, you have several choices of where you would like to go.
I'd like to go into health and healing and this kind of
thing. Okay. That's, you would like for health and healing to be your path?
At this point, yes.
Okay. All right. So let's look at it from
this
perspective.
I want to do a seminar with Wayne Dyer on this whole thing as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I want to do.
Okay.
Jonathan, you're a Gemini rising?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to work with Wayne and start a new situation, new type of movement. All right, so the dream, Jerry, who is my stepfather.
Okay.
He's a Gemini. And me are in an outside area working, maybe doing yard work. And we note that we should not move too far into the open space because there are lions around somewhere. But maybe we shouldn't go too near to the edge of the woods because then the lions can jump out and grab us by surprise. As we're working, I spot two lions nearby sitting on a rock. And I feel a sense of danger, so we decide that it's best to get out of there. And we start to move out of the open space, grass area, towards the house. Now I'm thinking that Jerry, you know, he's older, he's slow. He can't run, I can't run. I'd have to slow down as well and defend him if a lion attacks. I feel neutral about that. I don't feel like, oh, too bad, Jerry's here. I just feel that that's what I have to do if that's what the situation calls for. So I pick up a large branch to use as a club in case the lion attacks. Anyway, we get to the house. We get up onto a deck. And suddenly the lion is coming after us. And I'm on the deck and the lion is right in front of me, and I take the sharp end of the stick. And I try to ward off the lion by poking him in the nose. And then that doesn't seem to work, so I start to whack the lion on the head. Small end of the stick. But the small end doesn't have a lot of power, so I turn the stick around, and I got the thick end like a club. And I'm whacking him again on the side of the head. And that seems to be effective to ward off the lion.
That's the most intelligent way to handle a lion I ever heard of.
But the lion wasn't really attacking. I mean, I'm whacking him, but it didn't look like a lion, like a typical attack lion wouldn't be sitting around getting
poked.
Okay,
when we look at this dream, what's going on here is Jonathan is representing this part of the mind. Jerry, his stepfather, is representing this part of the mind. The open field and the house are also representing this part of the mind.
Gemini 10.
Yeah, the open field is more governor relating to regulator. This regulator means regulation of time. Mm-hmm.
Why an open field?
Open field because it's nature.
And so it's a regulator.
And so it's governor. It's governor, and as it relates to regulator, you know how.
As they relate.
You know how there are lizards that live in the desert, and there are lizards that live in the water that still breathe air. They're more associated with the regulator than the lizards that live in the desert.
Hmm.
Yeah, because they're closer to they're starting to resemble fish, like an alligator and a turtle that live in the water. They're reptiles.
The ocean
amphibians.
Yeah.
That breathe air and swim in the water.
Right.
Wait a minute. And so they're representing what?
They represent a close relationship between these two things.
Okay.
Okay, now the lion represents the emotional mind because it's a mammal. It's a cat. but it's a primitive mammal. It's not a human. It's not a female human being. It's a lion, so it represents the emotional mind as it's connected closer to the governor. Because a lion is not, although it's a mammal, it isn't an emotional animal unless it's taking care of its own young or unless it's relating to its own mate. But otherwise, a lion is an automatic, repetitive, compulsive animal, which automatic, repetitive, and compulsive are attributes of this part of the mind.
Wow, wow.
Okay.
Wow, wow.
So a lion, when it looks on you as food, it doesn't get emotional feelings about whether it's going to kill you or not.
Except young
and
now.
They say it doesn't care whether you're Shakespeare or a bum on the street. You're a meal to it.
Say that when the creatures are killing, it's another form of loving.
Who says that?
The instinct is. I don't know
they love their food.
They love their food. It's a form of love because they're not doing it out of malice or whatever. They're doing it because
In the sense that they're not doing it out of malice, that's true. But the thing about this part of the mind is that it doesn't necessarily have malice.
Oh, it's totally unemotional. It's just
it's automatic, repetitive, compulsive.
Okay.
Like morals, rules, regulations, laws. You know, you go into the court, and the judge there in the court, he's got he's going according to the law, according to the rules, according to the regulations.
Yeah, and you can't have the emotion get involved or it screws it all up.
You try to appeal to him, by wearing a short skirt or like some women
do. You look funny in a short skirt.
Well, I would, wouldn't I? Would.
Anyhow,
so what we're doing here is we're getting a layout of the personality as it appears in the dream. And so Jonathan, while he's looking and he's seeing Jerry, who is his stepfather in the dream, really what Jerry is representing is what he thinks about this part of his own mind.
Right.
So when I would say, Jonathan, who is Jerry? He says, my stepfather. What kind of a guy is he? Go ahead, Jonathan. Let's hear it.
Well, he's a nice guy. He's very helpful. He's got nothing bad to say about him. Generous. Seems like he's getting slow. My mother's getting upset about all that because he's not. His functioning capacity is slightly diminished, but he's fine. He gets angry once in a while, but not that much. Got nothing bad to say about him. Very nice guy.
Okay, now what does it mean, nice?
Helpful, pleasant disposition, kind-hearted. A general, normal person who's,
Okay, how does he operate? When he's working, how does he he interrelates with people by being nice, pleasant, kind-hearted, helpful, generous, slow,
right.
Slow to anger.
Right. Yeah. What's the question?
How does he function besides all of these others? Besides
functions.
Yeah.
Well, he's getting.
What kind of work does he do?
Psychiatrist.
And how does he do his work?
He works with children. But I notice he's like, you go to his desk and he's got all these little pencils. He seems like his function is slowing down, is what I said. But he works as a psychiatrist. He's retiring this year. How does he function?
Yeah.
Pretty well.
Okay.
He's got his shit together.
What does he do to show you that he functions well?
He came to Princeton. He got himself a client base very quickly. He earns a lot of money through his client base. I mean, he was a psychiatrist. He came to Princeton, and within a couple months to a year, he had a full client base and a livelihood that he created for himself. Just by, referrals and talking to people and connecting. A lot of people, when he came, were ready to help him out. And boom, he just there he was. Good living. Yeah.
Okay. Now, Jonathan is telling me all of this about Jared. He thinks that this is a description of Jared. If you ask his mother what she thinks about Jared, she might not say all of these things. If you ask Jared's close friend about him, he might not say all of these things.
I'm thinking they probably would.
I'm thinking that they probably wouldn't.
Okay.
And it doesn't matter whether they would or wouldn't, because what I'm trying to get here is that these descriptions are descriptions that this waking state has of its own rising sign, of his own causal body inside of his own mind. This part of Jonathan's personality thinks these things about this part of Jonathan's personality.
A projection.
And so what he's doing is he's perceiving that inside of his own self and projecting that onto Jerry. Mm-hmm. That's the only way that we can understand the world. Because we don't experience the world out there, we experience the world inside of our own head. That's what our senses do. They receive information and take it in there, and it's all processed in there. So this is a manifestation of how Jonathan perceives his causal body.
All the time, or just now? Is it all?
Just now. Just now. Okay. In relationship to this question
that
you're asking. What should I be doing for a living? Okay? And you're seeing this is Jerry over here, and you're thinking that Jerry is now in danger. He can be attacked by this lion coming out of the woods. And I need to make sure that I can get him to the house into safety, and I need to protect him from this lion. Okay, now you think about yourself and your concept of yourself taking the direction into the world of health and so on. And this dream is giving you a picture of what you're imagining that's going to be like for you. You're imagining that if you go and get with Wayne Dyer, who is old and slow.
Right.
And
Wayne Dyer just came up. This dream came before the Wayne Dyer.
I know, but
yeah, he's old and slow.
Wayne Dyer's been on your mind. It's been part of your menu now for the last 3 or 4 years, I think. 2 or 3 years, maybe.
Yeah, potentially, we're doing something with him.
Okay. So now when you think of that, and what is a lion that you imagine coming out of the woods and threatening you in this process? I mean, you have to keep all of this in mind while we're talking.
But I was more, I said, your interesting is right, because I was more concerned about having to protect Jerry, not myself. I mean, normally, in a dream, I'm afraid of lions myself. But my concern was really protecting.
Okay.
Like I said, I have to protect Jerry. That was my concern.
Okay, me. Now what, pick the paper up again, Jonathan, because you said something here about, I wasn't really concerned, it was kind of like matter of fact.
No, that wasn't on the paper.
Okay, what did you say?
No, that wasn't on the paper, though.
Neutral. He said he was
neutral. No, that I just
what,
that,
what,
the words I heard that, you use was that you were neutral about
it. Yeah, that was
neutral about what?
The fact that he would have to slow down to protect
Jerry.
Yeah,
I didn't feel, usually I feel
that
frustrated.
What did that mean to you when he said that I was neutral about having to slow?
There was no emotion involved. It was like, it was just a matter of fact. It wasn't like, oh my gosh, I have to slow down to keep this guy safe. It was this is just the way
the
it is.
The point
there's
is,
no
usually I get frustrated when I have to slow down and wait for people. And usually, like, if there's a disaster, I probably want to run. And now I don't have that option. I have to slow down. But usually I feel frustrated about it, like, get me out of here. But in this day, I didn't feel that way. I felt that was like the Dharma.
I
didn't feel
that's kind of how you would express it, I think.
I didn't feel
all right, good. Thank you.
I mean, this is what I needed to do.
You don't have to ask other people.
Were those the words?
No, it's fine. What do you mean?
But the point is...
don't have to ask other people.
No, I can explain it. I
don't care what you want to explain. I wanted to hear what these people... I also, Jonathan, wanted to hear what they heard. See, because what I'm trying to illustrate is that we've all got our own perception.
And what I heard...
And I wanted to hear what you heard also.
What I heard was that this is a... it's like a nonchalant kind of thing. Like, if there's a lion coming at you, Jesus Christ, let's go! Come on, get going!
Yeah, you know. And what I heard was I'm indifferent to whether the lion gets him or not. You know, if the lion gets him, he gets him. If he doesn't get him,
he doesn't get him.
Okay, but see, I'm telling you, Jonathan, that we're living in a world where we're perceiving what we're perceiving, and our processing is processing it, and everybody is picking up whatever their capacity is.
Okay.
So that's the reason I went through all of this.
Okay.
Don't worry, I wasn't trying to diminish the importance of your perception of what you were saying.
No. I never heard you do a session like that, so I didn't know you were going around. But
I try to be different every time.
Okay, that's good.
Oh, he's gone around before.
Okay.
Rand, you're saying Jonathan is looking at his governor as listed there. And you said that's for right now. Isn't that for all the time?
No. It depends on the situation. Sometimes we're paying. Sometimes Jerry isn't going to be in this dream. Right?
Right
now Jerry's in this dream, and so this Jerry who happens to match up the way that he does with Jonathan's concept of his own governor. Causal body.
Well, wait, there's where my question is.
It could have been someone else. It would have been a different. It would have been different.
Yeah, there could be different symbols in the dream that would give you different interpretations of your own governor.
Could have been another.
Oh, okay. So we can see our governor in different ways.
Right.
Okay.
Sure. That's sure.
Depending on what?
Depending on your mood.
Your identity type and your mood, huh?
Would it depend on which part of yourself is looking at it? Or you're always in that?
You're always only in that.
We're
forced by law to identify
with it. No, I get that. Yeah.
Except you identify with this part of the mind.
Oh, why?
Because you're a woman.
Oh, but what if I'm in my masculine mode?
You can always... You say, I'm in my masculine mind?
No, but what if I'm being more masculine?
You are always still a woman who's acting masculine.
Got it. No, because I definitely notice I see many women who are just so masculine. I think, oh, they're in their masculine mode. But is it just that they're a woman who's who's just learned to be very masculine.
They're trying to adapt to a situation, and they think that they need to bring some of their masculine powers into the moment, but they're still identified with the fact that they're a woman.
Right.
Their body doesn't change all of a sudden, you know.
Yeah, so the makeup is always there that they're a woman, and then that's why you get a lot of screwy things going on in the head.
Yeah. Well, then you do get people who go have surgery.
No, I don't mean like sexual orientation. I mean just like behaviors. I know some women who seem to be very nurturing and very womanly on one hand, but they're totally aggressive and forceful and masculine on the other hand. It's like it's done in a very masculine way. Like they're feminine in a very masculine way. Does that make sense?
Yes. Nevertheless, we're always identified with only one part of our whole psyche.
Right.
The identity is always located in one place.
Right.
Now, she can take values from there and from there and from there mm-hmm. and try to incorporate them into her way of behaving,
right.
of believing, and so on and so forth. But she's still always identified with that.
Right, and as a man, so Jonathan in his dreams will always be identified with
this.
The only way
that he can get out... This is interesting. Now you pay attention right now because I'm going to tell you something that you're going to love. Mm-hmm. The only way that he can get out of identifying with that is to go into the free space between that and this.
Right. Yeah.
And when he goes into the free space between that and this, then all of this becomes harmonized.
Right.
Because what happens is these things are only thought-producing mechanisms. That part of the brain is not represented here. It's a thought-producing mechanism in that part of the brain, in the neo-mammalian brain and in the cerebral cortex. This is a thought-producing mechanism in the paleo-mammalian brain. Mm-hmm. But when you, who are here like this, and Jonathan is identifying with this, and then all of a sudden he withdraws that and identifies with this space mm-hmm. in between there, then all of these thought-producing mechanisms become suspended. Okay. And you're in the pure mind without any thought whatsoever.
And the goal, the purpose of a dream is to try and push you into that state, is that correct?
Pull you into it.
Pull you into that. No, I appreciate the difference. There's definitely a difference. Okay, got it. I mean, I know you've explained it to me before, but my brain's a little slow today, so I'm trying.
Hey, don't worry. I've been explaining it to myself for 25 years, and I'm still getting it to you.
Thanks to everyone else for 25 years.
Yeah. Hey, I don't mind being pushed into it.
Just give me a shot.
Oh, really? okay then.
Well, actually, that's a good analogy. If you've got a rope tied to you, and I'm trying to push you, and nothing's going to happen, the rope, if I pull you with the rope, they're not going to get you.
Yeah.
Well, I've heard living masters say that you got the world pushing you and that the master is pulling. So we get pushed and pulled.
Yeah.
Okay. So anyway.
Funny how words are.
Yeah, it's a matter of talking all the time.
Yeah.
So anyway, what I'm interested in here is this lion.
But I was going to say that too. So do you ask Jonathan what the lion represents to you? Sorry, let's see. Sorry, John.
What did he say?
I noticed the dynamic. All the men are passive, and the woman is, you know, so we need you to balance out our passive energy. So
all the men understand, Jonathan. We're so...
No, it's...
We've done this dream work for so long.
But it's a stylistic thing. All right, go
ahead. Well, I think the one thing that's going on here is that although she looks like she's sitting back and leaning back on the couch and everything, she's really sitting on the edge of her seat.
Waiting now, I'm sorry.
No, it's great. It's great, Carmel. I love it. I don't want to discourage you. I don't want to discourage you at all. I love your responses. I think you're a very welcome participant in the whole process, and I want you to feel free to participate and to come out with anything you want to say. Because this isn't my group. It's our group. Okay, so the lion. Is the lion a threat?
To whom?
To you.
Yeah, to both of us.
The lion is a threat to both of you?
More to Jerry.
Okay, what's the other way of thinking about the lion?
I don't know. I see a lion. I think it's a threat. I see it. They look on the rock. It didn't even seem to be attacking us.
Okay.
I'm whacking it, but it doesn't seem to be attacking.
What's an open field and what's a forest?
An open field is like a grassy area.
Okay. You know, when I say, what's a cat, and you tell me it's a four-legged mammal that's about a half a foot tall.
No, but a cat...
That just describes the obvious.
No, but a cat to me is also, I have a cat, so I'm very attuned...
I'm very attuned to what I want you to say about what comes up in your mind.
Cats to me...
I don't want you to think about the answer. I want you to give me a response.
Cats to me are...
What's an open field?
An area of dancing and play badminton in. If it's not windy.
Okay, what's a forest?
Place to ride your bike as a kid and have fun and explore and get cool when it's hot.
Okay. Now, that's kind of like a conceptual answer.
Okay.
Do you have a non-conceptual answer? What's an open field?
This reminds me of a poem. About a poem that I, where you're supposed to, where all the world dances, and this, based on a Rumi poem called I'll Meet You There, and the line opens up, there's an open field, I'll meet you there, where all the world dances. So, to me, it's a place of freedom.
Okay.
A place where people can get together and congregate. And
okay, now, in that same spirit, what is a forest?
Robin Hood, place to play.
What's Robin Hood?
They say Robin Hood's a band. There's a band of brothers in the forest.
What's Robin Hood? What? Just give me the first thing that comes.
A hood. A hoodlum. Real steals from the rich and gives to the poor. A righteous guy. Defender of the poor. Dharmic.
Those are literal conceptual answers, Jonathan. I want you to tell me, what is a forest? What's Robin Hood? I want you to tell me an answer that doesn't make any sense.
Who's Robin Hood shooting apple on the head, eating an apple through?
Concept. Give me an answer that doesn't make any sense. What's a forest?
A dancing bunch of people. Having fun, living life, where it's cool. Eating.
Okay, hold. Very good.
Dancing people, living life, eating berries. It's not a deep forest, it was just a wooded area. The lion was on a rock.
Okay, so I'm looking at this dream, and I'm looking at this. We were in an open space, and we needed to stay away from the wooded area.
Right. Go right into it.
Okay.
Right.
We need to be in this place of freedom, and we need to stay away from where the people are dancing and having fun and eating berries. Okay. So, when I think about getting into the health business with Wayne Dyer, I need to think that I need to be out in the open field of freedom, and that I need to stay away from where the people are dancing and having fun and eating berries. Okay, so now hold on a second. Because where the people are dancing and having fun and eating berries, there are dangers,
right,
like the lion. Okay? So now, when the lion is coming, there are two ways to look at the lion. There's a conceptual way of looking at the lion, traditional, right? I'm an object of its desire for food.
Right.
The other one is intuition. What's a lion? When you look at a lion in terms of the cosmic radiance, you look at the lion through the eyes of your own cosmic radiance, and tell me what you see.
Well, you see a cat. You see a cat, and you see everything that's graceful and elegant and beautiful and great about a cat.
Okay,
and it's a large cat. I have a cat. It's a larger version of a cat.
Okay, so now when this large cat that's graceful and elegant and beautiful is coming out of this area where the people are dancing and having fun and eating berries.
Gerson didn't recommend berries, but
what does it want to bring to you? What is the cat, this lion? What?
It wants to bring me the fun of all that without the danger of all that. It wants to bring me the beauty of all that. I mean, the world, whatever's in there, wants to bring me the beauty and the grace of all that, not the danger of it.
Okay, so now when you see this cat coming out of the forest, out of the woods,
right.
You and Jerry are there together.
Right.
So now what's your attitude about it?
It's a cat, pet it.
To go towards the cat instead of towards the house.
Curl up with the thing. No, as I was, I was running away from the cat, and the cat caught up with me at the house. It wasn't.
Okay, but what I'm asking you to do is instead, let's recreate the dream.
All right. There are two cats there.
You see the cat, which causes you to turn towards the house.
Right.
Correct?
Correct.
Because the cat is a turning point.
Right.
So, when you see the cat, you have a response and a reaction. There are two automatic reflexes that you are not in control of.
Fear and flee.
Those are two aspects of the same one.
Right.
What happens before fear?
A little bit of surprise, like, oh, there are the cat. Oh, I see some cats, like I thought I might see. I thought there were cats, and suddenly there.
Okay, now, Carmel, this is a beautiful thing about this, about the way that surprises happen in life, that a surprise always gets us to experience the space of freedom in between the two thought mechanisms. We always go into the thought-free space. Mm-hmm. And then what happens is the part of the mind that creates thought reacts against that because you have abandoned that place and you're not in it anymore. And it gets afraid, like you're going to go floating out the top of your head. Mm-hmm. And it won't be able to get you back. And so it starts creating thoughts of danger and risk and so on, which are all illusory.
Yep.
Okay, so this is what's going on here with Jonathan, and this is why I've been trying to lead him to this awareness that before he recognized the danger in the dream, he also recognized the beauty and the freedom that the cat was bringing to offer him. So, Jonathan, you're looking a little brighter and a little happier all of a sudden.
I see a crow, too. Look, there's a crow right
Crow's
there.
Crow's been sitting there for about 15 minutes.
Sitting there waiting for me.
He's been waiting.
It's my vision quest animal.
Carmel brought
it. It does remind me of a video I saw, I believe, on TV the other day where a crow and a cat had become best friends and it was unbelievable. They're roaming around playing, fighting with each other for like 3 years. But anyway, go ahead.
No, it's all right.
No, but it was very, very funny, this crow and this cat.
Okay.
But anyway, they were
So when you are with Jerry, and you're in this field, and you want to stay away from the woods because of the dangers that lurk there, then you realize in thinking about getting involved in the health business with Wayne Dyer, how could you do that in a way where you would be in like an open field? And how could you do that in a way where you could go close to the woods?
How? Literally?
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, I keep thinking like he's got this whole, when I think Wayne Dyer, I think Hay House, and it's a massive amount of people, but they're all kind of la-di-da, they're not really serious. So that to me is, I don't want to get involved in that whole mishmash, feel good stuff. So the way to do it is to move towards, you know, a more serious approach with these people. And again, not everyone's going to be there, but it's going to be more selective. So
okay.
I see about moving to freedom, to the edge of the field, is not to be aloof from all that, but to not get lost in all that. I don't know if that's an answer, but trying to lift the game up.
It's great.
And with Wayne, when I see Wayne Dyer, I think this guy's fluffy, you know, they feel good. He's got to be lifted up. I got to lift him up personally to get his people lifted.
Okay. So now when you look at the edge of the woods and you see the lion, what's your first response? There you are with Jerry in the dream.
I'd like to see the lions come out and visit us and play around a little bit.
Okay.
There are two lions there.
Yeah. Now, is it a matter of, see what you're...
I'm still a little afraid that these lions are
okay.
They're not cats.
In any event, there's always, in every moment of surprise, we have two reflexes.
Right.
The one of them is a response, and the other one is a reaction. And I'm using these two words in a different way than is normally commonly used. And I'm saying that the response is what we do when we go into the space of freedom, and that the reaction is what we do when we come back out of it. So when you first see, when you're aware of the being in the open field, you're aware of the edge of the woods, you believe that there is danger lurking in there, and if you just imagine the danger to be the opposite of what you imagine that it is, and that there is something in there, in that woods, that has a beauty and grace and elegance to offer you. And if you are willing to go over to the edge of the woods and leave this open field, then you can find a place where there are people dancing and having fun and eating berries. But you can go with Jerry over there. And the cat will be the cat medicine, which will teach you how to be beautiful and graceful and so on, and while you're among all of those people. So that it becomes a situation where, rather than you imagining, I'm serious and they're irresponsible, that you can be beautiful and elegant and having fun with them, without thinking of being serious and non-serious.
Beautiful, elegant, having fun. That sounds good. Yeah, you're right. That should be the approach.
Okay, now that's an interpretation.
No, but that's in line with the whole thing as well, you know, to move towards what you want and not away from what you don't want.
Yes,
to create what you want and not to create what you don't want.
Okay, but nevertheless, what I did was an interpretation, which is something that I don't do.
Right.
Yeah. I don't do dream interpretation.
You're doing something new today.
But I just did it.
Yeah, you're doing something new. Probably.
Okay, so now I want to do what I normally do.
Here comes the sun.
Okay, so now what I want you to do is look at the, while you're with out in the field with Jerry, and you're realizing that there's something in the woods, and that you have two responses, you have two reflexes in relationship to what's in the woods, a response and a reaction. Okay, and you look at Jerry and say, Jerry, come on, let's go. You don't do that, sorry.
Well, I see
you look at Jerry and you imagine yourself saying, I'm going to say to Jerry, let's go into the woods. Let's go into the woods to experience the grace and the beauty that's in the woods. And tell me about whether you still feel the reaction of fear.
I'm a little afraid I might put it into some type of danger.
Okay. Now you see, Jonathan, the whole situation with Wayne Dyer is going to be dominated by this fear.
Yeah.
And you and Wayne Dyer are never going to be able to get clear as long as you're holding on to two conflicting attitudes about your relationship with him.
Okay.
And what happens when we have two conflicting attitudes is our behavior is confused.
So my attitude is that he's a little bit of namby-pamby, but I'm also feeling like He's, I guess I'm feeling like I like the guy, but he's a little namby-pamby. I'm conflicted.
He's a namby-pamby who's got a lot of people.
Right, exactly.
And I want exposure to a lot of people. Right. And so I am ready to go to Wayne Dyer, who's namby-pamby, with a bunch of irresponsible people.
Not irresponsible.
Let me do it as bad as it could possibly be.
Okay.
I don't want to try to describe it exactly the way that it is. I just am playing.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Okay. So.
But there's a way to do it in which I can do this and pull it off if I learn how to accept the grace and the beauty of an elegant lion. And to accept this as an emotional input so that I feel it emotionally, because a lion represents the emotions. So I want you to imagine yourself in the field with Jerry and imagine yourself saying to yourself, you know what, Jerry, there's something of value for us in the forest, in the woods.
Okay.
We need to...
We're doing work. We're doing yard work. So, yeah, okay. I just remembered that. We're doing stuff. We're, like, cleaning up. Okay.
And okay. Now the cleanup work is done.
Right. The cleanup work is done.
You're ready to go with Wayne Dyer.
Right.
You've got everything that... You've done all the cleanup work that you need to do.
All the research, all the knowledge, everything.
Everything is completed. You're ready to go.
Right.
You're ready to go meet all these namby-pamby people.
Some of these people are nice, though.
And these people are dancing and they're having fun and they're living life.
Up, man.
These people are dancing and they're living life and they're having fun and they're eating berries. And
let me in, man. I love berries. I make a blueberry shake every day. I gave Dominic some berries.
Okay.
He thought that was...
How are you doing with your ability to get free of thinking?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah, it looks like fun in there. Yeah, I want to be in that forest with the...
Okay, and so you look at the cat, you look at the lion.
The Lion King, man.
And you say to yourself, I am willing to be eaten.
Eaten?
By this lion.
I thought he was going to come lick and play, man.
He's going to come and eat me. I'm willing. Yeah. I'm willing to take whatever this lion has to offer.
Is that going to hurt?
Who cares? Who cares whether it hurts? It always hurts.
What if I die, man?
It always hurts when you change.
Lions can be vicious.
Haven't you been looking forward to dying all of your life?
Lions can be very vicious, man. They can kill an elephant. They're really...
As long as you want to think in literal terms, you're going to have a hard time with Wayne Dyer.
Okay.
You've really got to get beyond the concepts.
All right.
And the way that you do that is you look at this dream situation and realize that in relationship to Wayne Dyer, that God is inviting you into a woods with a lion.
Okay.
And no matter what happens, you got to be willing to go no matter what.
What about Jerry?
What about him?
I mean, I was there to
protect Jonathan,
him.
Jonathan, listen.
Should I leave him out or go with
no.
him?
No. Hey, listen. You know why God said that the Jews are the chosen people?
No. Thick neck. No.
Because he said, if I can convert them, I can convert anybody, right?
Thick neck. I'll show you that if I can convert these mugs, anybody can come to God. I got to choose the hardest case first.
So the Jewish family, the Jewish tradition, has this tendency of taking everything literally at face value.
Yeah.
It's really difficult for a person from the Jewish culture to lift themselves up out of this attitude of taking everything literally.
That's so radical.
Look, Jonathan, let me explain something. You're sitting here on a couch.
Yeah.
Jerry's down in Princeton somewhere.
Right.
I'm asking you to imagine walking into a woods with Jerry. And this lion is going to be in there, and you think that it's going to hurt Jerry, and Jerry isn't going to notice anything, no matter what happens.
Okay.
This is all creative imagination.
All right.
It takes creative imagination in order to make something happen.
All right. I'm with you. I'm going in. I'll have formed the intention to go into the woods.
No matter what happens to you and Jerry.
Yeah, I'll form the intention to go into the woods.
Okay, are you free in your belly? Are you noticing any...
I'm feeling pretty good.
Are you noticing any...
I want to be in that woods.
You want to be?
Yeah.
Okay, so then look at yourself in the woods then.
Yeah.
With the lion and with Jerry and Wayne Dyer and what's happening.
Yeah, it's good, man. We're really, really enjoying ourselves.
Okay.
And it's really good, man. Yeah, it's cool. There are berries there, people. It's like a paradise, in a way.
Okay, so it's
like the Garden of Eden, in a way, but not quite.
All right, so it's completely different than you conceived. When you were conceiving of being together with Wayne Dyer and his namby-pambies. Now you're seeing that there's somebody completely different than you imagined.
Yeah, they're fun, yeah.
In your conceptual imagination. This is creative imagination, free of concept.
Yeah, yeah.
You see that?
Yeah.
And God converted the first Jew just now. He just now converted the first Jew.
The Red Sea parted and the Jew came through the space in between.
And
it killed everyone else. So the Egyptians delivered into this promised land.
They still thought it was a sea.
One at a time.
It was a trick.
Okay, Sadhguru Nanda Maharaj Jijay. That was great, Jonathan. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
How are you doing, Carmel?
Oh, I'm really glad to be listening. I'm very grateful to be able to experience and listen. Yeah. And this crow's back again.
Isn't the crow's been in attendance the whole time now?
Did he left? Oh,
he's come back again.
He left while you were doing the thing, and then he came back.
Two of them came back, and he's still there.
Just sitting there.
He's still listening.
Nowhere else have I seen it perched above.
The crow is listening.
I'm going to take a quick bathroom break.
Yeah.
Me too.
Okay.